want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is aphrodisiacal foods. It was not much after straight up noon when our barmaid slash server asked my wife Janet and I if we wanted a screaming orgasm. I was impressed. She did not blush, though most assuredly Janet did. I replied, "Another one this morning? Why not? Yes, please. Make it a double." Soon enough it arrived, but in the form of charred raw tuna. And while our collective toes did not curl, I will admit that my baser natures were sated, for the time being anyway. If you Google aphrodisiacal foods, you will find some variations as to what are on the hardcore list. When I did this, I was certainly curious to some on their chart. Pumpkin pie came up. Really? Why? Is it something one does with it? At least a third of the listed seem merely due to anatomical similarities. Asparagus, olives, and charities are all easy game in that regard. Bananas, too. But the list makers missed vanilla altogether. Major error. After all, the Spanish call it vanilla, for small sheath from the Latin, which describes an area of the female anatomy that you curious folks can look up. Let's do that after the show. The foods that bend my alchemy toward Eros are foods that, when ingested, conspire to make me, and I hope my love interest, feel transformed in that will-o'-the-wisp way. I'm sure Shakespeare had better words for it than what causes a screaming orgasm. When I was younger, I found a mentor in the world of food and literature by the name of Mr. Louis Zalamea. Mr. Z, as I affectionately called him, was born in Colombia. He migrated to the United States, where he worked in the diplomatic and journalistic worlds. As he got older, he began to write more about food. He had many thoughts on what we are talking about now. He told me this: "When you receive food that is made by hand, you receive the energy of the person who made it. The modern mechanization of food, processing, packaging, freezing, microwaving, bah! Such methods remove the soul connection and the energy, the vitality, that aphrodisiacal power of food. I miss him as he has gone on to his eternal reward. I hope he's enjoying this show." Chocolate would certainly star in this R-rated menu. A New York Times article stated, "Scientists ascribe the aphrodisiac qualities of chocolate, if any, to two chemicals it contains. One, tryptophan, is a building block of serotonin, a brain chemical involved in sexual arousal. The other, phenylethylamine, a stimulant related to amphetamine, is released in the brain when people fall in love." But in the end, they came to the conclusion that it was more about the way women, especially, they wrote, felt after or while consuming chocolate. And isn't that enough, the feeling? Why the need to have the science tribe jumping in the proverbial hay with us just when the mood is getting good? Can it just be that old black magic? The 20th century writer George Jean Nathan had his thoughts on the subject. He wrote, "Sex touches the heavens only when it simultaneously touches the mud. And one thing pulled out of the mud, or at least the earth, that rules for aphrodisiacal powers is found there. The winner, truffles." I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food. When I get that feeling.